Fairy tales can come true. It could happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you'll have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin Andrew. How many of you remember the name Tony Campolo? A few of you, right? He is a famous author, writer, professor. He used to write a number of books and sermons, and he had a sermon called "It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming." Sunday's a coming. The whole sermon was based around Easter, right? And on Good Friday, all seemed lost, right? Jesus was hung on a cross. He was dead. All was lost. All their hope that the Savior who was going to liberate his people was vanished. And they thought he wasn't the Savior after all. Well, that was Friday. But on Sunday, something happened. When the rock had been rolled away and the tomb would be found empty, this gave people renewed hope. Maybe he was the Savior. And then he appeared to his disciples and lots of people. And people said, it's true. Only God could do this. He is the Savior. In 3 days, how things had changed. And people had gone from despair and sorrow, and then on Sunday to such joy and celebration. That's kind of our, and Tony would say that's our life. Some days it feels like we're living in Friday. Some days are hard, and it's like all seems lost. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's a coming. Someday we're going to be in his kingdom fully realized. But I don't want to talk about today about God coming back, Jesus coming back, or us going to heaven or whatever. I want to talk about Mondays, right? Because the week is always circular. You know, even though Friday leads to Sunday, Sunday always leads to Monday. And nobody really likes Mondays. I like Mondays too. I'm a pastor. It's my day off. But for the rest of you people, Monday is a hard day. And while Friday always leads us to Sunday, Monday will bring us back to Monday. It's kind of like the mountaintop of Easter as happens on Sunday. But then you got to go back to work on Monday. So I'm going to call this sermon a little bit different. You might say this is a little negative, but I'll explain. I'm going to call this sermon, "It's Sunday, but Monday's a coming." Today we're going to conclude our series on "It Fairy Tales Can Come True." been challenged in this series to see life a little differently, to see how that it takes our imaginations, even in our faith, to believe what we know is true. We have to imagine even things that happened in the past to kind of remember them. We have to use our imaginations to play out the future. It all involves faith, and it involves using our imaginations. We've also talked about how that we're part of a grand story that we just can't get enough of. It's a story of every good fairy tale about heroes and villains, and how villains seem to get the upper hand, and yet heroes overcome great odds and triumph over the villain. That's our story too. I've shared stories of modern day examples or fairy tales, modern day fairy tales, from Rapunzel to Han Solo to Pinocchio in the last few weeks. All have a similar tale. Our tale is about a God who won't give up when the odds are against him. He continues to search out for his people, always provides a way back for them, even though his people keep wandering away, keep finding ways to be lost and broken and sinful. God doesn't stop. He continues to reach out to them. And this all kind of culminated on Easter Sunday when God sent Jesus down as his secret weapon, so to speak. And Jesus went on the cross and said, "Take me instead." And something happened. And this trade happened. And we can now proclaim, because of the cross, we are righteous. And Jesus could proclaim, "I am sinful." Not sin in what he committed, but sin that he took upon himself. So we've used this scripture. I said it on Easter Sunday. I'm going to say it again. Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's a good one. That's worth memorizing. Now, this type of thinking comes a little bit easier to us when we're celebrating Easter Sunday. But you know what? Mondays are coming. What are you going to do tomorrow? How are you going to live with this faith, this embracing of the cross tomorrow? Because when the alarm goes off, and even though we just read this scripture about Christ being in us, it's going to feel like we're in us come Monday morning, and the alarm goes off, and we're not going to want to get out of bed. Oh, man, it feels like my body. Oh, and it's my body's weak. And you wonder, okay, Easter happened. Isn't it supposed to be easier now? And if we are saved not by any effort of our own, is effort kind of a bad thing? Showing effort? I mean, we're not saved. Well, there's two types of effort. And one is bad, according to the Christian faith. And that effort is when you feel like you're showing effort to earn God's grace, to earn God's favor. But the other type of effort is actually a good thing. Effort is not a bad thing in the Christian life. Doesn't it take effort to even rest in Him? We are so bent towards sin, it takes effort. It takes effort to see Christ live in us. It takes effort to imagine and fully own what Easter has given us. It takes great effort to come to an end of yourself, to die to self. That takes effort. And you can only attain that effort through God's Spirit and God's grace and by His mercy, but it takes effort. You've been given a great gift, but you still have to live out in holiness. You still have to die to selves. I'm going to read the same passage that we had for our children's message this morning, John 15:4-6, and I'll be drawing from that passage. And it says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. So how do you become this branch that has to bear fruit, that's called to bear fruit? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to embrace this connection that Jesus gives you at the cross. To start to abide, you have to realize the branch and the vine are connected. And they are connected not because of what you do, but of what Christ has done for you. So you have to reimagine and reimagine and just set in your brain over and over again, I am united with God now. This is the gift of the cross. I didn't have to earn anything. I don't have to measure up. I'm connected to God. Number two, He is the vine and you are the branch. See, we get that mixed around. In fact, I accidentally mixed it around in my slide. I had to change it this morning. Like, wait a minute, I wrote that wrong. God uses you. You don't use God. Boy, that's easy to, oh yeah, that's easy, right? We all do that, right? We don't use God, do we? Yeah. As long as we keep trying to get God to serve us. Now, don't get me wrong. God often does give us things. He gives us things we ask for sometimes. But He is God. And that relationship has to be kept that way. If we keep trying to get God to serve us, then we're never going to abide in Him. God is either God or He is nothing in our life. That's a pretty strong statement, but it's pretty much true. And I keep returning this over and over to my life because I have to actually remember, wait a minute. If God's not number one, He's not nothing. He's really just nothing. Now, the good news is, though, that God understands that you're not going to be able to always live up to perfection. He understands that you're not going to always be able to make Him number one. But there's a whole different ball game when you don't even make Him the goal. He's got to be number one. He's got to be the goal, that number one goal. Because it doesn't work if you make Him number two. It doesn't work if you make Him three. Now, we don't always are able to live that out. We sometimes, oh, Lord, I'm sorry I put you number two or three or 217 today. But it's got to be number one. That's got to be our goal. And that's a wake-up call we need to remind ourselves every once in a while. Is He number one? Am I even trying to make Him number one? Number three, every branch is going to get pruned. And pruning, guess what? It hurts. And when you get hurt, you're going to be tempted to abide somewhere else. Because you're going to go the easier way. But if you want the rest of your week to get richer and richer and more full of joy and more full of life, then you have to accept Mondays when you get pruned. They're going to come. They're going to come hard sometimes. It always hurts, but it always produces something good in you. Don't give up. Don't give in. And most of all, don't stop abiding in Him. Because when you abide in Him, you can handle getting pruned. It will be worth it. Number four, abiding is not a secret. Now, everybody wants a religion, or everybody wants a formula or a magic thing that they can discover. And like, once they have it, they have it. Okay, I'm good. Well, even though we've been given a great gift, we are called to continue abiding by the Spirit, right? God tells us to keep in step with the Spirit. Bearing fruit doesn't happen quickly. We don't reach this magic moment and have just develop all this fruit. Spirit is not something we can totally control. It isn't something we can even totally grasp. But we can try to keep in step with it. And that's the trick. And finally, the number five, the journey is circular, which means there will always be a season of pruning, there will always be a season of growing, there will always be a season of bearing fruit, and it will repeat itself. Because every time you get pruned or every time you fail, you're going to be tempted to give up. And then you'll be tempted you'll have this guilt. Maybe it rears its ugly head in your life again and again. So what do? I go back to the Easter story. The cross tells us we are safe. Because of the cross, God is not against us. God doesn't see a person who fails and is disappointed with because of the cross. So however much you fail in real life, you've already been cleansed. You've already been secured. You're still connected to the vine. Jesus is your advocate. He is your constant source of goodness before God. See, what does that mean? You never, ever have to run from God. You can always run towards Him because His favor is towards you. Repentance is just running back into His arms of acceptance. God's not going to be sitting there like this. He's going to be waiting openly. And it takes this imagination that God has given us to remember that. When all our guilt and all our feelings of trying to have to measure up enter our heads, it is the process of relearning. Wait a minute. I am not who the world says I am. I am who God says I am. It takes practice. It takes effort to abide in Him. It takes good habits in your life. And when you abide in Him, you will start to understand Him on three different levels. Because it is a relationship that you have with God as Lord, as Savior, and as friend. Do you know God in all of those ways? Because we need to. First of all, God is Lord. He is the Creator. You are small like dust compared to God's power. He's the one who makes the rules. He's the one in charge. Not you. Not me. But you also need to understand Him as Savior. Because God cares so much for you, even though He is Lord and so much bigger than you, He is your Savior. He came down to prove His love for you. He came down to pay your price, take your sins upon Him so you could continually abide and be connected to Him. Wow, what a Savior. And because He is your Savior, He can be your friend as well. Did you know God likes you? God wants to spend time with you. He likes your personality. He likes the way He made you. He's your friend. Well, I think He's so big, I know, but He's also your friend. And we have to be able to walk with God in all three of these ways. When we are mindful that He is Lord, He is Savior, He is friend, our branches, they start producing fruit. It's amazing. Two words I want you to remember going home today, if you remember nothing else, that will help, I think, on your faith journey. And they are the words union and communion. Or maybe other people define these words differently, but in the Union of Christ book is the book we've been reading, and that it tells us that there's the word union and communion. And a union is formed between us and God when we accept what Christ has done for us. There's a bond, a relationship that's formed, that's given to us if we take it and we're connected. And because we're connected, we have this union with Christ, with God, that cannot be broken. Some people would say, what Wesleyans would be, you might be able to walk away from it, but you'll never lose it. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. The second word is communion. Communion is the way we experience God's love and enjoy the relationship with Him. Okay? So that is subject to change. By our human nature, we want to grade ourselves on communion. Because some days we're emotional, some days we're high about our faith and we're all excited. Some days we're disciplined and so we feel good about ourselves. Some days we don't. And we grade ourselves, or we want to grade ourselves, on the communion rather than the union that God has given us. See, we always think we have to do something. For all, but we're called to do anything, it's just to abide in Him. What do you do on Monday morning? When life goes bad and the pruning starts to happen, you remember the union and you see the union, not your communion. Because the union has sealed the deal. Your communion will go up and down. And don't get me wrong, I like my communion to go well. I try to make my communion go well. I like it when devotions go well. I like it when I go to a worship service and I feel the love of God and I like to praise His name. And I like all that stuff. And I want that to go well, but it's not always going to go as good as other times. We must go back to the union that God has given us. We seek communion out of gratitude for the union. We don't seek communion to measure up. We seek it out of gratitude because we've already been given the union. And we want to follow and we want to abide in that relationship of a God so loving that He would give us the union. Now, there are days when the branches, and the wind's going to blow and the branches are going to bend and creak, and it'll be a test at that day. When are you living by the union or are you living by your communion? It's like, in some ways, I put it in an analogy that most of us can relate to, money. All right? So it's like I've given you $1 million. And I've given you, and I put it in the bank for you. Well, you've not seen $1 million. You've not taken any withdrawals from it or anything. I just told you that it's there. The bank can verify that it's there. That is, in a sense, what you've been given with God. You've been sealed. You've been secured. It's there. You don't have to do anything to earn it. Next week, we're going to begin a new series, Sermon on the Mount. And if you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, you know that's pretty hard stuff, one, to understand, and even more so to live out. And if you don't ground yourself in the union first, then you're going to get discouraged as you try to live out God's ideal. Because He sets the bar up high, God does, as He should. And then we fail over and over again to live up and get to the over the bar, we can get discouraged. And we think, I can't do this. This Christian life is too hard. Well, what are we judging ourselves by? We've got to go back to the union. Wait a minute. God doesn't have a problem with failure. God doesn't have a problem with failure. I've already been given the union. Rankin Wilborn, the author of the book, says, unless you are sure that you are safe with God and certain that God is not disappointed in you, you will never seek His face. Why would you run to God? Why would you seek to abide Him if deep down you thought God was going, oh, that loser again, that failure? But if you're sure you are safe, if you're certain of that union you've been given because of the cross, oh, wow, then abiding in Him is a whole different story. Oh, then He can set those high goals, and I can keep trying, and I can let that Holy Spirit keep working on me, and I will gain ground, and I will bear fruit, and I will go higher and higher. But my union was already secure. Mondays will come, my friends. Mondays will come. And life will get hard. And you will get pruned. But God is faithful. And Sundays, Easter Sunday, teaches us how to do Mondays. It is the gift we've been given. It is the privilege we can share with others. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward at this point. We're going to close the service. And I would ask you, do you still judge yourself by communion? Are you still struggling with measuring up? Or are you sealed and you feel like you're living from that union that God has given you? And you work from that and you strive and you put forth effort because of that as gratitude, as building the relationship, because you want to be connected to a God that loving and that God that giving. That is our motivation.